Now, Wisconsin Republicans are rushing to pass over a dozen election reform bills before the end of the legislative session next month. The bills would have wide-ranging effects on how elections are conducted here in Wisconsin. Among other things, they would give lawmakers power to block federal funding and guidelines, make it more difficult to obtain absentee ballots, require extra paperwork for housebound people to vote absentee, ban private funding for elections, and more. Lawmakers around the country are making similar moves as the midterms approach, and former President Donald Trump pressures Republicans to amend election laws. The bills are likely to be vetoed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. We're talking about GOP-proposed changes to election law in Wisconsin, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What pandemic-related voting changes do you think we should keep? Which ones should we get rid of? What are your thoughts on the way absentee voting works in Wisconsin? Should the government automatically mail registered voters absentee ballots, or should voters have to apply for them? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Johnson is the State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio and co-host of WPR's Politics Podcast. Sean, welcome back to Central Time. Do we have you, Sean?
Hey, Rob.
There you are. Okay. Sean, state Republicans, as I said, are proposing a lot of changes in election laws. Why are we seeing this rush of proposals right now?
I think you could probably point to a couple reasons. I mean, the legislative session is running out, and you have Republican sponsors of these who say and, you know, believe that the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the agency that runs elections in Wisconsin, has sort of taken it upon itself too often to make changes to election law. And so if you're going to make a change to any of these things, now's the time you got to do it. But then there's obviously very big political reasons that would be driving this too. This is something that they want to potentially use against Governor Tony Evers in his reelection bid. And then, you know, the biggest reason, I think, arguably, is that former President Donald Trump has never really stopped talking about the 2020 election and making, you know, the false assertion that he won battleground states like Wisconsin. And so with those repeated statements from Trump, you have a real push among the Republican base to do something about elections. And, you know, even Republican lawmakers who say Trump has gone too far in his statements will concede that they are pushing these bills in part because of the way, you know, their voters feel about elections.
You mentioned a lot of these bills center around the work of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Let's take a moment, Sean, to meet the WEC, the agency that runs elections in Wisconsin. Can you give us the origin story?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that old, really. It was created less than 7 years ago because Republicans who ran state government at the time did not like its predecessor, the Government Accountability Board. Government Accountability Board was created, not too many years prior to that. It was run by nonpartisan judges. It was disbanded after it launched an investigation into former Republican Governor Scott Walker's campaign and, you know, several high profile Republican donors. It was replaced as a bipartisan board. So there's three Republican appointees, three Democratic appointees. This was not by accident. And this board does deadlock a lot on controversial issues. Although we should say that in 2020, you had some bipartisan votes to make changes to election policies in Wisconsin so that the state could continue to hold elections and continue to offer people the vote against circumstances that we'd never experienced before.
Now, some of these Republican proposed changes for the Wisconsin Elections Commission would take those instances where the commission issues guidelines on how elections work in Wisconsin, try to solve the gray areas, and say a legislative committee can step in and review those. What kind of change, what does that change look like?
Yeah, so it would give more power to this committee that is called the Joint Committee for the Review of Administrative Rules, which is a mouthful, but it's a pretty powerful committee in Wisconsin. And as the name suggests, they review administrative rules, which are policies that have the They're not laws, but they have the force of law. And so those are supposed to go to this committee, which can make changes to them. And they can, you know, the committee can also use parliamentary tactics to block or delay these things from taking effect. So if you have an elections commission that is doing this stuff, as you know, guidance is the word. Guidance doesn't have to go to this committee. And so this committee of Republican lawmakers cannot block guidance. But under some of these plans that are moving through the legislature now, guidance would be rules. You know, it essentially let the committee decide, we are going to take that up and we're going to block it. So it gives the legislature a lot more power to have a say in what is election policy in Wisconsin and what isn't.
Some of the new laws involve things that the Wisconsin Elections Commission had issued as guidance over the last few years, Sean, and passing laws to say, no, that is guidance you can't do. What kind of concrete changes would that involve?
There's quite a bit there in terms of what the agency has done recently as guidance. I mean, one that comes to mind, and actually, the commission is actually kind of scuffling potentially with Republican lawmakers over this right now, even without these bills, is the guidance that was handed down on how to handle witness forms, the certificates that accompany absentee ballots. So when people mail back an absentee ballot, it has to be witnessed, that somebody has to fill out their name, their address, and sign these forms. And what the commission has said since 2016 under a bipartisan vote was that clerks, if they know, if they know these certificates are missing information and they know what that information is, they can cure these forms. They can fill in that information. The vote still gets counted. What one of the bills that lawmakers are considering now would do is say that if you're missing really anything, if you're missing the voter's first name, last name, their hometown, their street number, their street name, any of that stuff, if the voter's information or the witness's information is wrong or missing, the ballot does not get counted. So what does that mean? If you look at how many ballots were missing that information in the last election, you could be talking about potentially hundreds of thousands of ballots that don't get counted because they're missing, you know, a last name or a city, stuff like that.
Talking to Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief, looking at a package of election laws being worked on by Republicans in the state legislature. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Andrew is with us in Green Bay. Andrew, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me on.
What'd you want to bring up, Andrew?
I have kind of like two separate things, but on the same spectrum. It seems like there's both on the people who are voting and then the way that the people who are getting voted on get our attention. So with people voting, it seems like we're almost being discouraged to vote, when I don't understand why we can't just use one piece of information, our social security number, that theoretically every single person has. That should be all the proof you need to vote. Who cares about your name? You have a number assigned to you anyway. So why not just go with that? And then on the other side, with campaign financing, you know, why can't we look to our European friends and say, okay, why do some people get to spend $300 million on a political war chest to get our attention? Why don't we have a set limit of what we can spend on a campaign? That'll allow for not just Republican or Democrat, and maybe break us out of this partisan drivel and competition that we've seen for the past 100 years.
Andrew, thanks for the call. First, Sean, I don't know if anybody's proposing using the social security numbers to make it easier to vote, but what in these election proposed changes, what kind of things would make it either harder or easier to access different ways to vote?
You know, there's a lengthy hearing on these bills yesterday, and there was talk of there are forms you fill out where you, the social security number or digits of your social security number can be used. But I think if you look at big picture, there definitely is a push to there's no way of, I guess, getting around the fact that these bills would make it harder or add more obstacles to voting absentee. You know, so they're not removing the option of voting absentee, but they are making it more difficult. So like there's a bill that would, right now, you can request an absentee ballot be sent to you for every election in a given calendar year. So you could say, I want one just for the spring election, the spring primary, the August general. Just fill out the form. As long as the Elections Commission has your photo ID on file, you can get sent these forms by your clerk for these elections and not have to worry about it. Under a plan in the legislature, you could still get absentee ballots for those elections, but you'd have to apply each election for a new ballot, and you'd have to upload your photo ID for each election too, which has, you know, we know has created problems for some voters. So it's not shutting the door. It just is putting up a bit of a hurdle when it comes to doing this stuff.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about a slate of election change laws that state Republican lawmakers are pushing to pass before the end of the session next month. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you live or work in a residential care facility or nursing home? Some of these laws involve that. Did the pandemic impact your ability to vote? Are you someone who can't travel independently because of a disability or illness? How do you vote? Do you worry about these changes? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about many proposed changes to election laws that Wisconsin Republicans are trying to pass before March. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your comments about how we vote in Wisconsin, changes you want or don't want to see made. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Bob is with us in Stoughton. Bob, hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, when you vote, it's not just the issue about voter ID or not. It's the fact that you have to have your current address on the ID, or they won't let you vote unless you have a piece of mail, like a utility bill. It can't just be any old piece of mail. And I think that's a big thing that I've seen people, you know, rejected from the voting lines all the time for decades now. And, you know, I understand why people have doubts about certain elections. Like, I had doubts about 2000 and 2004 or some of that old Prosser Kloppenburg election. You know, sometimes individuals can do fishy things. And I think that, you know, we do need a closer look at the elections. I think allowing people to vote for a longer period of time and double checking all the votes should be. I mean, you look back to the elections back in the 1800s, the elections used to go for, gosh, weeks on end and everything. And, you know, and Epstein didn't kill himself.
Bob, thanks for most of the call. Sean, your thoughts on Bob's thoughts on ID, matching current addresses, things like that. Anything in the new laws that would affect that?
So it's been a while since I've written about this, but I'm pretty sure that when you show your photo ID at the poll, they're not like making sure that your address matches up with the address in the poll book. That said, there are bills in this Republican package that would, I guess, make sure that those addresses did match. There would be, in one of the bills, there would be a requirement that the state's voter registration database matches up with a database that is maintained by the Department of Transportation. And this would be a new match. It's not, it's not like the database matches that, you know, you may have heard us talk about in this program before. Mm-hmm. And so I think you could see a situation where if one of those addresses did not match, voters would be notified, but it'd be kind of on them to fix it. And they could very easily be, you know, dropped from voter rolls under that proposals. I mean, as far as scrutinizing, you know, the election and taking a closer look at the election, like the caller mentioned, I think it's fair to say that this, you know, 2020 presidential election it's still being looked at, but it has had a pretty close look. You know, there was a partial recount, a recount of the vote in Dane and Milwaukee counties. There was the audit of the election that, you know, election workers do after every statewide race like this. There was an audit by the Nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau, which did not find widespread fraud. It did find a number of instances where it said the Elections Commission, you know, exceeded its authority, should have gone to the legislature to get stuff approved. I think that's kind of the, you know, a theme of that audit. But you haven't seen widespread fraud in, you know, any credible investigation.
Let's go to Steele next in Appleton at 800-642-1234. Steele, hi.
Yeah, yeah. My question is, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I did so much time. It was computers doing it. And after the stuff, all of a sudden we have to collect all the computers and have the military hide them in Fort Knox. And why don't we just have a piece of paper and you mark a crayon across it and maybe have young people count the votes instead of people just sitting there.
Steele, I gotcha. So we have a paper ballots shot, I think, everywhere in the state now, electronic vote tabulating machines. But there was a concern back in the day, I think, as Steele was alluding to, that if you didn't have the paper, then you can't go back and double check. Well, we know we had recounts in Milwaukee and Dane counties, for example. We still have those paper ballots.
Yeah, that was something when you started to see voting machines used more widely in Wisconsin. There was a push to have an accompanying paper ballot with the electronic ballot. And so that is something that you have in Wisconsin. You know, but counting these votes, you know, it takes a lot of time, I will say. And you saw a lot of focus on just that aspect of the election in 2020. You still hear the, you know, former President Trump talk about complaining about the vote count not coming out until like 3 a.m. in Milwaukee. It came out at that time because they used in this election several high speed vote tabulating machines, you know, in order to hit that mark. So it's I think there would be a trade off for everything. If you had hand counting, we'd be wondering for days what had happened, given the influx of absentee ballots in the last election.
My understanding, Sean, is Milwaukee County, for example, used some grant money, private grant money, to buy some of those or defray the cost of some of those high speed counting machines to get it out when they did. Another change, and this is being proposed as a constitutional amendment in part, would block that kind of grant. So what's in the works there?
Yeah, and I think if you're looking for which of these proposals has kind of the most partisan consternation behind it, that this might be the one. Republicans want to ban future private election grants, like the ones that were given to clerks across Wisconsin, but primarily in 5 of the largest cities, by a foundation, not-for-profit, run by the that's funded by Mark Zuckerberg, the Facebook founder. So these grants paid for stuff, as you mentioned, like those vote counting machines in Milwaukee. It paid for PPE for poll workers, you know, protection as they conducted this election during the pandemic. It helped pay poll workers because in the April election of 2020, a lot of the older poll workers who had worked elections in the past did not want to show up and when they could run the risk of being sick at that election. So it's a lot of stuff that money went toward. And the cities that took it said, look, if we're going to run elections like we need to under these circumstances, we're going to need money. The Republican counterpoint is we don't need a wealthy donor coming into the state and deciding, you know, which cities get more money, which cities get less. They have proposed this as a bill before. It was vetoed by Governor Tony Evers. They've got it in a bill again this time. That's likely going to be vetoed. But a constitutional amendment would be required to be approved by 2 consecutive sessions of the legislature and then voters. So it would sidestep the governor. But, you know, that's a no easy task to amend the Constitution and wouldn't take effect immediately.
Yeah, for all this other stuff, Sean, you just mentioned vetoes. Is it expected that if any or all of these pass the legislature, Governor Evers would veto them?
There are some elements of the bills that are kind of, you know, boring, for lack of a better word. They're a little micromanaging of, you know, the way that we run elections, but that's probably partly because some of them were drafted by a former clerk, State Senator Kathy Bernier. So she has ideas on how very, you know, particular details of the election process should work. That said, I just don't know that there's anything that the governor's going to sign, because some of these uncontroversial ideas or less controversial ideas are in bigger bills full of very controversial stuff. And Evers has given every indication that he's going to veto those. They're pretty relevant, though, because obviously he has his own election later this year. You have Republicans running against him, Rebecca Clayfish and Kevin Nicholson, who have said that they would probably they've indicated they would sign bills like these. And in fact, they have said they would dismantle the Wisconsin Elections Commission altogether. So even if it's not going to become law under Governor Tony Evers, it's relevant to think about, because this is the kind of stuff that could become law, you know, if there was a different governor.
Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
Sean Johnson is the State Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio and co-host of WPR's Politics Podcast. He joined us for a look at new election proposals.